greetings to all who are listening. We are gathered today around the pericopes, listed as pericope 14, or proper 14, I should say, and for this church year, it is the readings for the 13th Sunday after the Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson, if you have gone there at all, you realize that it is taking us to vocabulary we have seldom seen, and it is tough. It's gorgeous, but it's a tough read, and it's a long one also. So we're going to do what we can do to work our way through it. Let me say just in terms of what we have in this chapter, or the function of what we have in this chapter, and that is that this is what Job had been waiting for and arguing for the entire book, namely a response by Yahweh. The thing is that by the time Job gets to that, he is already accusing Yahweh of being a capricious, arbitrary, and sometimes downright demonic force that was playing with Job unfairly and in malicious ways. And leaves it there because any other logic didn't make any sense to him at all. He ends his words by saying he's ready to stand before God to display any accusation God would make against him. He would bear that like a crown, and he would stand before God like a prince, ready to mix it up in court with God. Now, God appears, and what we have in particularly 38 and 39, is a combination of God rebuking Job for that kind of stance before God, and one of the echoes of that comes in verse 2, which is just before our pericope. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? And that initial word, who, echoes all through these two chapters. Who is this? Who did? Who could? And obviously the answer is not Job, and the other answer is I. And in fact, we'll see that the who question and the I statement are really one and the same way of affirming the same reality. So there's a rebuke in some of these sections, and at the same time, Yahweh reveals. He kind of lifts the cloud a bit and reveals a bit of his own creative wisdom and his purpose. All right, having said all of that, let's get into Job 38, beginning at 4. We're going to try to put our time limit, make our way down to verse 18. Verse 4. Where, Aphol, where were you? Beyoz the Eretz. Yasav is the root. We have an infinitive construct there, and it's best translated as a temporal clause here. Where were you, literally, in my creating the earth, or forming the earth? Where were you when I established the earth? Hageth, an imperative from Nagath, to tell, to speak out, to proclaim. Tell me if you know knowledge. It's kind of a strange expression, but I find that often enough in Hebrew that it must be idiomatic. And in verse 5, we begin with that who. Who is this? And who's the one who did? And the actions here are obviously the actions of God, because he just said so in verse 4. I founded the earth. Now, who is it who put the dimensions? Who set the dimensions, the measurement, if you know? And who stretched out the measuring line upon it? Well, the answer is the same answer as we had up in verse 4 up above. Okay, upon what were the what were its foundations sunk or laid? This is a hofal from tava, passive. On what were the foundations laid, or who? Yara, literally to throw or to cast, and I think in this sense it's a synonym for the verbs we've just been working with. Who set the stone of its corner? Who set its cornerstone, in other words? Yara, by the way, is the verbal the verb from which, upon which the word Torah is built. And in that sense, it conveys both a sense of gift as well as a sense of a direction, a meaning for life. Okay, verses 4, 5, 6, were you there? Who did all of this? And verse 7 then kind of gives the outcome of what happened there. Baron, from Ranan, to burst out in song. When, to, and it's an infinitive absolute, when the stars of the morning broke out together in song, Yachav is together, and all the sons of God burst into song. And both of those words indicate something loud and something jubilant. Okay, verse 8, that's verse 4 to 7, talk about God's creation of the world, his establishing and his measuring and laying it out. A different kind of an image than we have in Genesis, is more of a creation image. Verse 8 now picks up a different aspect of God's governance of the world. And you have to presume the who here, kind of brought down from verse 5 up above. Who provided, who set gates for the gates for Yam, for the sea? One in, suk is the verb here, or sakak actually. Not used so terribly often. It does kind of recall Job verse chapter 1, where the Satan talks about God surrounding Job with a fence so that nothing bad happens to him. Now God is talking about a surrounding or a setting on a much bigger a scale. You notice that the word gate here is a dual. It's not just a plural, and that would reflect not so much the fence, but genuinely an entrance point or a gate. And just like we would have in many churches, you have two sides to that. Okay, in Nuach, to burst forth, in its bursting forth from the womb. And this last yetse really does not click in this verse. And you look at the major translations, and it isn't even reflected there. There are some of the commentaries go a lot of different directions with that. At best, it reinforces the sense of expulsion or emerging from the womb. And you picture the sea kind of bursting its limits. Verse 9, basumi, the root as we have it here really is sum. You don't find that actually. It must be likely a dialectical variant from seem, as the meaning is the same. In my setting, cloud as its garment and darkness as its swaddling band is the way many translations have it. The word is rarely used in the Old Testament, and it does refer to a bandage in one case, and it refers to something bound around, and that's what leads to the thought of the swaddling band, swaddling clothes. And I broke, literally, I enforced, maybe is the better word, upon it, my limit, my parameters, my boundaries. And I set a bar, singular, most of the translations go plural on that for some reason. I set a bar and gates, same dual form as we had up above. And I said, verse 11, up to here, this is as far, Tavo, you go. This is as far as you can come. And no further, Yasaf, to exceed, to move beyond. It's as far as you come and no further. And to here, Yashif, to put literally or to end, I think in the context here will end the bursting, the majesty, brute force of your waves. In other words, where 4 and 7 talk about the creation of Yahweh, creation of the world, 8 to 11 talk about God's preservation of the world through the limiting of the sea, at the same time God's care for that sea, which was listed among the many gods in some of the mythologies of the people of that day. Verse 12, interesting first word there, which is a combination of a hey interrogative and a preposition, min, from, and then the word for days, and then your. From your days have you, onto the verb tzava, to command. Have you ever commanded the morning? And have you made known the dawn its place? If you look over, assuming you have your the Hebrew Bible there, if you look over to the margin, you see a kof with a dot on it, and above that you have the same set of consonants as you have here. That's the kere. What you have in the text is the kathiv. And what the kere has done and what is suggested is that the hay after the verb, have you made known, that the hay be moved from that verb to become basically the definite article on dawn. And in fact, it's pointed that way. You can see that the shin begins with a dagesh, which ordinarily doesn't happen. Easy enough thing that that could happen, a kind of a transference as it was copied. Okay, have you ever commanded the morning? Have you ever made the dawn to know its place? Two, with the result that it would shake on literally the corners, the edges, the wings of the earth. It's kind of pictured like a tablecloth almost. And you pick up the corners of the earth and shake the wicked ones from it. That's one of the things that the morning will do. The evil ones go into hiding. As a result also, it, that is the earth, Hithpael, from Hafak, to change. It changes itself, or it is transformed like clay under or with shaped by a seal. That is, the features of the earth, I think that's the meaning, begin to appear. And it presents itself, the Hithpael, from Yatzav, to stand, but also to present itself like, or show itself like a cloth. Not only the features of the earth, but the colors of the earth, I think is the point. emerge with clarity, and the evil ones' mana are to withhold or to deny, are denied their light, and the upraised, that's Rama participle, the upraised hand will be broken. That is, every time the day dawns, it takes form, it takes color, it takes shape, and the evil of the earth are denied the place that they have at night. One interesting thing, you notice in verse 13 the word for the evil ones, and the same in 15. You have what's called a suspended ayin, an ayin that's raised above the text of the others, and the explanation is that this is a correction of some kind in the text, and I was not able to pursue it beyond that. It'd be worth looking at, but not without not with particular theological significance. Verse 16 begins with the hey. Have you gone from Bo to the sources of the sea? And among these, where does the secret places, secret place, or the recess of the depth of Tahom, have you walked around there, the Hithpael of Halak? Kind of like it's a place, you know, of easy access, a place you're at home in. Verse 17. From Gala to reveal, to open, Nifal with the hey interrogative, have the gates of death opened themselves or revealed or shown themselves to you? And have you seen the gates of deep darkness? This is from Banan, to comprehend or to perceive. Verse 18, Hithpael, have you comprehended the expanses of the earth? Tell if you know all of this. And the answer, of course, is I don't know all of this. And therefore, standing as a prince before Yahweh is presumptuous. And therefore, the fact that God comes to Job and asks all of these questions to put him in place without smashing him, which was Job's fear, says that God's invitation to Job is that he take his place back with God, the same way as Yom has its place. And even the gates of death and the recesses of the deep are within God's governance, so also God would like Job back at home again. We've reached time, and we move on to the New Testament for the day.
Yes, we shall. Up here.